Hello and welcome to Pitchside with Toby Reynolds, a Sports Gazette podcast, where each episode we take a deep dive into a new sporting topic with a new guest. I'm your host Toby, and this week I'll be joined by Mohamed Joseph to discuss the highs and lows of Arab football. Mo is a Palestinian sports writer and social media editor for the Sports Gazette. Throughout this episode, we look at the brilliant performance of the Arab nations in the Asian Cup, but their disappointing displays in AFCON, and their optimistic future due to the resurgence of the Arab Cup, as well as the effect home advantage has in those tournaments. I am now joined by Mo. How are you, mate?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about some of the Arab nations and how their footballing history and current events have been going so far. And I guess the best place to start is the AFCON and Asia Cup were both just happened recently. They only happened a few weeks ago now. And both went sort of to differing levels for the Arab nations. I mean, the Asia Cup, very successful. I think I'm right in saying Qatar won the Asia Cup.
Yes, Qatar won the Asia Cup in the third and only full-on Arab final in Asia.
Beating Jordan in the final. AFCON, on the other hand, was far less successful for the Arab nations. None of them making it to the quarterfinals, which is quite crazy because generally in the history of AFCON, Arab nations have been quite good, haven't they?
Yes. Especially like when you look at the history, you'd notice like Egypt, the team with the most wins in AFCON history. Algeria always do well. Morocco, I'll give you a fact. This is the first time in the history of AFCON where there's only one Arabi nation that's from North Africa that made it to the round of 16. But the surprise this year was that Mauritania was also able to make it to the round of 16 when they upset Algeria in the last game of the group stages. So although we had some disappointing performances in AFCON, I feel like Mauritania was the only bright spot of AFCON for the Arabi nations.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it was a bit of a shame that Egypt didn't make it through. They have been so successful, as you say, in AFCON. What do you think has made them so successful throughout that time? The most successful nation by a long way in AFCON.
So I'll be honest with you. The thing with Egypt is, I feel like the most important thing about Egypt is like their connection. Like if you look at Egypt's treble winning AFCON team, you'd notice that most of them were playing for two teams. They were mostly playing for Al Ahly and Al Zamalek in the Egyptian league, so you'd feel like there were more connection, like they were more connected there. They wanted it more than I feel like this year's Egyptian team. I feel like this year's Egyptian team, there's more players that have been playing in Europe and stuff like that, and a lot of things played a role in Egypt not doing well, especially Mohamed Salah leaving for injury and the drama that followed. That wasn't a good look for Egypt's national team, and I feel like that added even more pressure to them, like to perform without Mohamed Salah. And let's be honest, they couldn't against Congo. It wasn't a good game. To be able to only score two goals in four games is shows just how like badly managed the team was. And they also their nets, like they got seven goals in four games basically scored against them, and that has never happened in AFCON before for Egypt. So I'd say the difference between like Egypt of 2008, 10 and 11 and the AFCON winning Egypt was, again, there were more chemistry between the players. I felt like the players wanted it more, and this year it was like it was a bit different, I'm not gonna lie.
And then in the Asia Cup, on the other hand, though, I mean, Qatar won it 2023. They also won it in 2019. And there's been a lot of success over the past few years for the Arab Asian nations. How come do you think that they've suddenly started to progress, whereas maybe in the past they hadn't so much?
I feel like with the Arab nations in Asia, this is the only time we've actually seen that the Arab nations outperformed the Africa Arab nations, because I felt like, again, this is in no way an excuse for the African Arab nations, but they did play in conditions that are, I'm not gonna lie, probably they're not used to, especially because the weather in Ivory Coast is something like that has always been a problem for Arab nations. One Arab nation has won only one Arab nation has won an AFCON in a Africa country that has that type of weather, and it was Egypt. Other than that, they always don't perform well in these type of conditions. I just, again, not an excuse for them, but like we seen Algeria in 2019 when they played in Algeria, they were more intact. They were playing better, although it's the same team that's playing right now, like that played last AFCON. And I feel like that played a really pivotal role in like Algeria not performing well. Even Morocco, we see Morocco playing Qatar the World Cup 2002, 2022, and they were doing a really good job, very progressive football. But then they play AFCON, and it's like it's not there. It's like it's missing. And I feel like weather played a big role in that. And the difference in Asia, I felt like Asian Arabi teams, they were there. And as Qatar had mentioned first, like they were like, all the Arab teams are playing at home. It's not just Qatar that's playing at home. It's every single Arab nation in Asia that's playing at home. We've seen it with Jordan. We've seen it with Palestine. We've seen it with Saudi Arabia. Every time they play, it's like they're playing in their hometown. Like the fans are all over the place. And I feel like that helped the Asian teams perform a little better than the African teams this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think home factors seem to be quite a big thing within the Asia and African Cup. I mean, 8 of the 18 winners of the Asia Cup have been the home nation, and 12 of the 34 AFCON winners have been from their home nation, particularly when you look further back in the past. Do you think that is because compared to Europe, there's such a bigger range of sort of environments and weather and different factors that can be such a huge impact?
Yeah, 100%, especially in Asia, the difference in like culture and everything that's around that surrounds these countries is what makes the difference. And that's why we've seen more host Asian countries win the tournament rather than other countries. And we've again with Qatar, like Qatar, the last Asian Cup in Qatar, we can tell like the presence of Arabi fans inside the stadiums was a lot more than other fans. Although Japan and South Korea, they're legendary, Australia, legendary teams in the Asia Cup. Japan with the most wins in Asian Cup history. But we didn't see them perform their best. I felt like, as again, because they felt like they were playing away from their culture and and that obviously helps a lot in the Asia Cup.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's, I guess, such a big difference when you look back at the history of it all. When you do look back as well, I mean, the beginning of the Asia Cup was a very successful time for Arab nations. Kuwait won in 1980, followed by Saudi Arabia winning 3 out of 4 in the 80s and 90s. And you then have to look again. There's a little bit of a gap before more recently. What do you think maybe caused that sort of real strength in the 80s?
I feel like in the 80s, that's I'd say was peak Arabi nations, in my opinion. That's when they had made it to multiple World Cups. We used to have multiple teams in World Cups. I'd say right now is also peak Arabi nations time, but I feel like it's the gap that the Arabi nations took between 2000 to 2014. I'd say it's that gap that really like caused. And again, this all goes in, it all relates to obviously political reasons. And between 2000 and 2014, it was the Arab nations rising up against their governments, most of them. Like in 2000, basically Egypt had a revolution. Syria has been going through a war for the past 13 years. Algeria, Tunisia, all these countries were going through it. So I feel like in the 80s, they were more politically, they were walking the right path and like stuff like that. And now we got to a point like in the mid 2000s where everything was going wrong, government wise, politically wise, everything was going wrong for them. And I felt like that's the gap they took. So I don't see that the 80s were just as successful to me for the Arabi nations as they are right now. But the only difference is they did take a huge gap in between those years where they didn't really perform. Again, these are stuff that they like. Again, the national teams themselves didn't have a choice over. And again, it's always political when it comes to these type of sports. So if your country is not doing good in a political sense, you can't expect them to do well in a footballing sense.
Has that been the biggest change, do you think, then, since the sort of 2000s when you mentioned they were struggling so much that there is just a lot more political stability in many more of the countries?
I wouldn't say there's political stability, but I feel like they've started to realize what it means to actually play good football and like stuff like that, especially after witnessing a bad time. Like they realize how important football is to them and how important it is to be successful in tournaments and stuff like that. And to me, like this and the 80s, we're witnessing the Arabi nations rise up again. We're witnessing the Arabi nations prove to everybody that they have the players. In the 80s, most of the Arabi players were still playing in Arabi leagues. Like they weren't playing outside in Europe. They weren't playing professionally in Europe. And at that time, I feel like there wasn't a big difference between playing professionally in Europe or playing professionally in Arabi countries. I feel like back then, you can look at the history, even Brazilian players or Argentinian, like take South America, for example. You'd notice that South Americans were still playing in their local leagues and Arab were still playing in their local leagues. It was more of a, I'd say, less money in football as a whole. So it was more like just let's show up and let's see who's better. But nowadays, I feel like with the advancement in Europe and the advancement in football in Europe, I feel like now you can see the difference between like people that play in Arabi leagues and the people that play in European leagues. And I feel like Arabi countries are slowly getting that. So they're sending more professional players to play in Europe. And this is the most Arabi, like this is the most we've ever had Arabi players playing in Europe. And I feel like this is a move in the right step for Arabi nations.
How many of the Qatar and the Jordanian sides are playing in Europe at the moment, or are they maybe a bit of a different?
Okay, well, that's the I'm like I'm speaking like okay. So in Jordan, one player in the whole team is playing in Europe, and he's the best player on the team, in my opinion, Moussa Tamari. Like he proved, but the problem is he proved to me and proved to everybody that's watching the game that there's a difference between players that play professionally in Europe and people that played non-professionally, oh, not professional, but not in Europe. And you could tell the difference in quality, even in the Palestinian team that made it to the round, the historic win and their historic advancement to the round of 16 for the first time ever. You can tell the difference. Like most of our players are playing professionally in the Indian League. And this is not in a way to lower what the Indian League has or what the Chinese League has, but it's just to show the difference in quality in football training, football facilities, football, anything that has to do with technology and advancement in training, Europe has it. And most Arab countries don't have it. Whether it was because of bad governments or just bad management, mismanagement from like the whole sporting industry in these countries. And to me, like although Jordan only have one player that's playing in Europe, it just showed that their players are capable of playing in Europe. It's just they need to be given the chance to play in Europe. Same with Qatar. Qatar built the whole idea that they want to build a team that's so that has so much chemistry that they all play for the same team. But then again, we've seen it in the World Cup. It didn't work with them in the World Cup. It didn't work in the World Cup, so I feel like Arabi teams are looking more now to send their players to play professionally in Europe, same as the North African Arabi countries have been doing for the past few years. And as you can tell, the difference between the players that play in Algeria, Morocco, Tunis, you'll see that they mostly have players that play in Europe, and that's why I feel like they do better in continental tournaments, and that's why to me it was a shock that they didn't do well at this AFCON.
Do you think that's maybe one of the factors, yeah, why it's not so transferable for some of the Arab nations within the World Cup, perhaps, that at the bigger tournaments where maybe there are sort of better players on show, you sort of got like Messi, Ronaldo, those kind of guys, the big dogs of world football are there, whereas you maybe don't need so much to be on the same level, and actually having that team chemistry and team bonding is more useful for the for AFCON and for Asia Cup, as it often can be for the Euros as well.
Yeah, no, and honestly, that's what you said is perfect, and that's what I like. That's what this I feel like this Asia Cup and this AFCON taught us is that tournaments that are happening in like AFCON and the Asia Cup, they really need more like a chemistry between the team and stuff like that. But when it comes to the big continental tournaments, it needs more skill and more tactics and more stuff like that because you're playing against the top players like you said, Messi, Ronaldo's. You're talking about elite teams, Brazil. These are the top of the nation. So Arabi nations have to keep up with them. And I feel like the more they let players from these Arabi nations play professionally in Europe, the more they're gonna be successful in these continental tournaments.
Are more and more Arab players moving over to Europe in the Premier League and Bundesliga and all the big major leagues, do you think?
Yeah, I feel like they are, and I feel like they're slowly getting their chances. Like I don't think the problem with the Arabi players is that they can't cope in the European League. I feel like the problem with the Arabi players is they're not getting the chance because, again, we've seen it happen to me. Just as an example, Mohamed Boutrika, probably arguably the second best Egyptian player of all time after Mohamed Salah, obviously. He's been called and dubbed by major journalists as the best player to never play in Europe. The best Arabi player to never play in Europe, I'd say. I don't want to say the best player to never play, the best Arabi player to never play in Europe. And the reason for him not playing in Europe is because the Egyptian sports ministry thought, oh, we can't lose him. We have to keep him. We have to make sure that he stays with us. And he's so good that we have to make sure he stays in the Egyptian league. But then again, maybe if they sent Mohamed Boutrika to play in Europe, we would have seen a bigger star. We would have seen a major star. And I feel like slowly they're getting that. Slowly they're seeing that the players need to go play professional Europe, because if you're not providing them the right equipment, the right training facilities and everything like that, how do you expect them to perform well against the teams that have them?
Do you think then, looking forward to the future, that as the Arabic nations sort of realize this and maybe allow their players to diversify and move across the world, they might begin to improve and actually start to maybe become a real force to be reckoned with?
I feel like yes. I feel like doing the Arab Cup every 4 years, now that they announced that it's going to be officially every 4 years in Qatar, they're going to do an Arab Cup between the 22 Arab nations. I feel like stuff like that and the improvement in Qatar, that what Qatar are trying to do, and Saudi Arabia trying to improve their league. And although people might not agree with how they're doing it and the way they're doing it, but these are things that will improve their players. These are things that will help players. At least, if they don't play professionally in Europe, play with players that already played professionally in Europe. So I feel like this is a, like I feel like the future is bright for Arab nations when it comes. Although the disappointing performances in AFCON and Asia Cup showed us a few Arab nations made a few surprises. Again, Jordan, one of them. Even Syria, nobody expected Syria to play well in the Asia Cup because of what they're going through in their country, and they still played well. So I feel like the future is looking bright for the Arab nations.
Absolutely, yeah. With the Arab Cup that's been around, it's been around for quite a long time already. Since the 60s was the first edition, but they've had to keep cancelling editions. In 1982, they cancelled one due to the Lebanon War, and in 2009, there was just a lack of sponsorship. Do you think
Yes.
that actually now that they might be able to try and really create a brilliant tournament over the coming years, or will it continue to be plagued by issues like that?
I feel like now that Qatar is the one that's like Qatar is trying to revamp it. Like Qatar, again, like you said, they've went to so many re like they've revamped this tournament so many times. Like you said, the Lebanon War sometimes didn't help. A lot of interwars between the Arabic countries, Yemen and Saudi Arabia and stuff like that. These stuff don't help running the Arab Cup. But what Qatar is trying to do and what Qatar is trying to say is, look, we're us, the Arab nations, we can do this. Like we're big nations. We can actually improve our football by doing these tournaments, and that's why they've taken over. They're like, oh, well, from now on, we're running the Arab Cup every 4 years in Qatar, unless until one country, like another Arab country, is looking to improve their football and stuff like that, and improve their host as a nation and stuff like that. Then, yeah, it's looking good, but yeah, it's left to prove it. Like we're only waiting to see what it means. 2024 Arab Cup in December.
Yeah. What
So,
would be your prediction for that then? The upcoming Arab Cup there's obviously a lot of great teams within it. Who do you think would be the favourites and who might be the favourites over the next few years?
it depends. It depends on a lot of stuff. So the problem to me with the last Arab Cup is teams like Algeria and Morocco and even Tunisia, although they won, they were playing with their Olympic teams. Like they weren't playing with their full teams, and they still ended up beating most of the Asian teams except Qatar, who made it to the semi-final, but lost to Algeria, who made it to the final and played Tunisia. But I feel like the more the Arab nations put emphasis and give importance to this tournament, the more they're gonna have a bigger tournament. And I feel like if the Africa nations play with their full team, I feel like they'll be the teams to take it. I'm gonna go ahead and say Morocco, just for one reason, because Morocco are gonna be planning to. to host the next AFCON. And after their disappointing performance in this AFCON, a lot of like Moroccan journalists have been saying how the national team needs a revamp, like needs something like to light that spark up before the Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco, so they don't have a disappointing exit like they did this year.
It's really a funny story in Morocco. They just, what, 2 years ago now, topped their group in the World Cup and got all the way to the semi-finals, the first African team to make it to the semi-finals, and the first Arab team to make it to the semi-finals of a World Cup. How big of an impact do you think that might have on Arab football, trying to sh well proving to all the nations that they can do it, and they just need a bit of infrastructure and to play well, and they very easily can get all the way in a World Cup.
No, honest, Morocco's 2022 like performance in the World Cup is absolutely not, I would say, adored and loved. It was celebrated by every single Arabic country, and I'm sure every single African country as well, because it was a big deal, not just for the Arab nations, also for Africa. Like, to these are again these are countries that don't get as much representation. These are countries that don't get as much look at don't they get a look at in I'd say in the sporting media world, because of like what they lack in they lack in they lack in power, they lack in media, they lack in a lot of stuff. And I feel like Morocco's performance helped put the eyes on these countries, and they can do it. If Morocco was able to do it, why can't Algeria do it in the next World Cup? Or why can't Egypt do it? Like, they can all do it. And I feel like that win gave hope for I'd say countries from lesser fortunate places that don't have the capabilities to improve as fast as Europe is improving. So yeah, it's a good thing.
And then you mentioned that they had a struggling time, or struggled so much in the most recent AFCON. What actually happened with them and a lot of the other Arab nations in the African? Was it literally just conditions for Morocco as well? And
No,
do you
no, no.
think?
I feel like no. Again, I can't use conditions as an excuse for these teams. No, I definitely won't be coming here to do that. But I tell you, they played a role. Conditions did play a role. But I do feel like I'm not gonna lie, the motivation wasn't there. Like, I didn't feel like there was enough motivation in Algeria. Like, I was watching Algeria, I didn't feel like they wanted that win. I was watching, like, again, to compare it to Jordan, for example, I was watching Jordan play, a team that has, like you said, one player professionally in Europe and the rest are playing in the Jordanian league. Like, to see them go for it, they wanted it more. Same with even Mauritania versus Algeria. You're talking about two Arabi teams. One of them is History is filled with successes, and one of them played three AFCONs their entire like history. But Mauritanian players wanted it more. There was more motivation for them to go for it. I felt Algeria wasn't going for it. And I feel like that's what they were lacking this tournament. Like, the Arab nations, especially in Africa, were lacking the want, like the need to win. Like, they felt like they came in as favorites, and that went into their head. Like, we don't need to go all out. We don't need to go 100% to beat Mauritania. Oh, we have a better team. We don't need 100% to beat Angola or Congo. Oh, like, we have better players. That got to their head, in my opinion, especially for Morocco against South Africa.
And then finally, Mo, how optimistic are you for Arab football in the future? Do you think that they will and could become a big powerhouse of football?
I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic. I feel like there's more. Again, I feel like the younger generation. When it comes to everything in those countries, away even from sports, I feel like they're trying to push the idea that the Arab nations can do it, and I believe we can, and I believe most Arab nations can. Most Arab nations have capable players, capable facilities, capable coaching, capable everything. But it just depends if they put it all in the right place, or are they just pretending in front of the cameras that they're doing it, and behind the cameras they're not. So to me, that's like. Again, with the Arab nations, I'm optimistic, but at the same time, I've been backstabbed too many times by these Arab nations. Like, that they go into the tournament like, we're ready, we did this, we did this. This is how we improved football in the past 2 years. This is what we're expecting to happen. But then they show up, and they don't do it. So I don't know. Like, I'm always optimistic about the Arab nations, and I feel like 2026 America World Cup, especially with the increase in teams in that tournament, I feel like we're going to see even more Arab nations qualify for the World Cup.
Amazing. Thanks so much for coming on, Mo.
No, no problem. No problem. Toby, it was a pleasure.
Thank you all so much for listening, and make sure you head over and follow us on social media. It's pitchside_podcast on Instagram and TobyReynolds10_ on TikTok and Twitter. Make sure you also head over to the Sports Gazette website to read articles from all of our pundits and writers here at the Sports Gazette. Make sure you like the podcast and give it a rating. It really does help. And make sure to join us next time on Pitchside with Toby Reynolds.